Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
Hey, Bill McKenna. And we're the team that created the Cogno Movement System, but is also the host of the New Life's Perspective Radio Show. We're so excited to be here with you today. And we have a really special kind of a topic. You may not know this about us, but Bill and I have trained practitioners of the Cogno Movement System all over the world. And we do a lot of trainings during the months in which we're face-to-face on Zoom around the world with our practitioners who bring up what's happening in their particular practice. But also, you know, we talk about whatever's happening in ours and the newest and latest research. Today, we were talking about the topic of concussion. And so we'd love to share some of this with you, because there's something Bill was saying just off camera that's hidden that you may not know. What was it you're saying, Bill?
There are so many things in our lives that I wish I knew personally about concussions and brain, basically like you got hit on the head and you got a little headache. You kind of think it's really minor, right? You think it's minor because literally the headache goes away in a few hours and maybe you had a little fuzzy vision, but you had no idea of what that actually did to your life. And in this episode today, we're going to talk a lot about that. And it's unbelievable. Can you imagine that your digestion, that your other injuries, that your depression, that your anger, that your jealousy could be related to that time that you as a kid were on the swing and you lost, you know, your hands came off and you went back and bam, you hit your head. You got knocked out or it just really hurt for a few minutes there and you're all fuzzied. And anyway, the most amazing thing is that an untreated concussion is just that. And it goes on your whole life. And because there's no pain involved, right? You think, well, I'm fine, right? Just like me. You know, I like to bring this up right at the front here. You might be saying, I want to turn the dial on this. I don't really have anything and I never got a concussion. Oh, hold it. Pump the brakes. Hold on for a second. Now I'm going to tell you a little story. And this story is pretty much everybody I talk to. And I'll start with me. When Liz Larson said, "Hey, you ever had a brain injury, Bill?" I said, "No, Liz. No, I never had a brain injury. I'm fine." But then we started inquiring. Oh, you know, I spent from the time I was 6 years old until I was probably 38, constantly involved in martial arts. You name it, jujitsu, judo, kung fu, Tang-Soo-Do, Tang-Kwon-Do, right through every possible thing you could imagine, punched, kicked, head-butted, every darn thing you could imagine, right? I was in football, and, you know, I hit one time, and this is one of my great regrets, I hit a guy so hard, his eyes rolled back in his head. He went to the hospital and I was like, that's when I quit football. But I had my bell rung so many times, skydiving accident. I broke my face. I literally knocked out for I have no idea how long, but yet I didn't think I had a brain injury. I'm telling Liz, no, Liz, I ain't got no brain injury.
don't gloss over skydiving incident. I mean, talk about a bell rung.
Right.
Oh, I just, you know, fell out of a plane onto the ground. Didn't hit my head at all, though.
So all of us, because it seems almost like no big deal, you don't really feel, I mean, you had a little headache, but it's not like if you ask me, hey, you ever broke a bone? Yes, I have. And I can recite every single one of them and they hurt. And it's because they hurt, you know, I remember, you know, I had to put a cast on or had to have rods put in and all this stuff. But you forget about these minor things.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting topic. First of all, I want to set this up a bit. Bill and I are not brain specialists. We're not neurologists and we're not doctors. We don't even play doctors on TV. However, Bill and I made an amazing, amazing discovery. The work that cognitive movement does work with the nervous system between the brain and the body. And we do know that the eye position does access parts of the brain. So we're accessing the brain through the eyes and then focused on sensation in the body, two ends of a nervous system pattern. We work with patterns. We realized it was at an event that there was a very specific pattern in the eyes that related to a known concussion. And what it is a big gap in vision or where the eyes will track, that it is related to having a brain injury. Now, that could also be a stroke. Strangely enough, it even could be a significant trauma that's not physical in life, can sort of look like that. But we noticed this very specific pattern with people who have had a known brain injury. Then we would start to recognize it in people that we were doing a regular session with. And then we would see the pattern and we'd say, wait a minute, have you had a concussion? Well, yes, I have. Or did you play sports? You know, did you get bonked on the head? We started to notice too that when a person would come in to us with an emotional issue, that if we happened to see the pattern and we asked, that emotional issue may have started right before or right after a concussion, sometimes even sandwiched in between two concussions. Why is this valuable or important? Well, because we realize that the work that I do and Bill does is based in knowing that there's a fight or flight system, that a threat assessment system in our body. It decides if an issue is a problem, a threat, get bigger than fight, get smaller than run, hide, all that kind of thing, or if it isn't. So a problem in our life may be seen as a threat because we also got hit in the head very nearly around it. So the two things get merged together and the body says, oops, problem. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. And it may do that for years and years and years. So we may think that a person has depression. Well, we find out that it started right after a bonk on the head during baseball, let's say. Or a person has OCD. And we ask a little further, we notice there's an eye pattern. And guess what? They fell off the slide and hit their head. You know, oh, they're fighting with their relatives or their spouse. Well, they may have had a car accident right before, right after. So while we are not specialists in terms of medical, we're specialists in terms of noticing patterns. And this is a pattern that emerged. What's cool about it is we found a really good solution, a really fast solution. But I think what we want people to know today is what to look for. And is it possible that for you, this may be a factor, right, Bill?
Yeah. And, you know, these type of things, right, they can be forgotten about, right, so easily, like we were talking about earlier. And these brain, it's ultimately a brain injury. You have this really soft brain encased in a very hard shell. your skull. And when you and inside there, you know, when you stop suddenly, right, the brain keeps going like a piece of mushy flesh and slams up against the skull, so causing a bruise. Now the thing about this is that you can get an injury not only from a physical incident where you get a physical injury, but we now know that it presents the exact same if you, let's say, were physically abused as a child, or emotionally, you have gone through a tremendous emotional abuse. Any of these type of things can present themselves as looking exactly like, on a spec scan, it will look exactly the same. And thanks to the work of Dr. Daniel Amen and his spec scans, he has something like 180,000 brain scans, he was able to figure this out. And this is really important work. And some of you may have heard of Junior Seau. Now, he was a San Diego Charger who ended up ending his own life. And with that, people became aware all of these concussions and brain injuries of pro athletes. A lot of these guys suffer terribly with depression and or anger, uncontrollable anger. Now, the thing is that something can be done about this today. You can do exercises which, because of the nature of your brain, that there's something called neuroplasticity. They thought that only children have this, right? That your brain grows as a child, it reaches a certain stage, and then there's no more growth or change, right? It's only degeneration. But nothing could be further from the truth. It's actually, you can grow and change your brain by learning new things, by certain eye positions, learning new things, by processing your emotions, by being of service, by forgiving. All of these things build these connections in the brain, these dendrites. And these are really great for, right, changing your life. Better brain, better life.
Yeah. And I think the reason that this is so valuable to everyone listening today is if you're somebody who's struggled in your life for a long period and you've done all the regular things, you know, you've gone to therapy, you've maybe seen energy workers, you've maybe had, you know, Reiki or massage or craniosacral, and you know, the list goes on and on.
Vitamins.
Yeah, vitamins. Yeah, that's a big one. Gut health, all of that. And you just can't find a solution to your issue. It may be this. So think back for yourself to when the issue that you're having first started. So just let yourself kind of wander around. Think about, you know, was it a decade ago? Was it 15 years ago? Was it 6 months? Just kind of notice, like, in what time frame did that happen? And did it begin? Where did the problem start? Did you really start feeling this? And then kind of notice around that time frame, within 5 years, let's say, so we can kind of just start, have a place to start. Did you bump your head? Okay, the initial reaction, like Bill said, is going to be no. But look at, did you have a fender bender? Were you actually in a car accident? That's really common for a lot of us, you know? Were you playing a sport in which you may have bonked your head? My mom used to work in a bakery, and she would pull these boxes or these big mixing bowls down, and she would constantly bonk herself in the head with things, mixing bowls, which, by the way, multiple head injuries can play a role in depression, yes, but also things like Parkinson's, which she eventually was diagnosed with. Same with a lot of boxers, that kind of thing. So everybody, did you take kickboxing? You know, did you accidentally fall out of bed and give yourself a black eye during COVID? That may be autobiographical.
I got to tell the listening audience, oh my God, you're going to laugh at this one. So I one day, Liz shows up and she has on her forehead a Harry Potter scar. You know, like I was laughing. Oh my God. It was as funny as heck. It was like it looked exactly like a Harry Potter scar on that. I was like, oh my God, there it is, the sign. I knew something was different about her.
Yeah, that's what happened. I rolled out of bed, I was out of my mind and gave myself a black eye and a Harry Potter scar. That's true. So you start to think like, have you ever stood up under a cupboard and whacked your head? I've done that so many times. You don't have to have passed out for this to actually be the thing that is what looks like a concussion. Usually it's a little bigger, but did you pass out? So a seizure sometimes from a high fever can kind of look like this too. Did you, around the time that your emotional issue started, have surgery? Sometimes anesthesia looks like that, will look like a brain injury. What happened? If you think about your life, what was going on physically right about the time the issue started? So we're talking about anxiety, depression, OCD, a chronic problem with a relative or spouse, money problems. I have a relative who was attacked by animals. And after that, their life changed dramatically. Now, on the surface, we did not think there was a brain injury there, but it turns out there was. So it was more flesh wounds, but there was. And so it changed their life completely, emotionally and personality-wise. So we need to take our break here and hear from the UK Health Radio. But while we're on our break, float back in time. Consider that time when this problem that you're having now started, and think about what happened physically in your life. So for now, we'll hear from the UK Health Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're talking about concussion and, emotional, psychological issues. Did you happen to have bumped your head in some way or have an accident right before a problem started? So let's tell a few stories about this, Bill. I'll start. I have one. Have a little client who had a big problem in her life, a childhood problem that for all of us is going to sound really benign. She was accused of kicking her cousin, same age cousin, and she didn't do it. And that problem started a life of anxiety. So when I saw her for the session, on the surface, we think, it's about anxiety. Well, I happen to have this information about a concussion, and I could see a little pattern in her eyes. So I said, did you have a concussion? No. Did you play sports? Oh, yeah. I was in karate. Did you happen to get kicked in the head, punched in the head? Actually, yeah, I did, just a couple weeks before that incident. Interesting. How about after? Yeah, about a month after, I actually got knocked out. So this was that sandwiching thing I was talking about earlier. So that being accused of kicking her cousin, but she didn't do it, for most of us would not cause a lifelong issue. It just doesn't seem like a big of enough problem. It's one of those kind of average things that happens to kids. But her little body decided that was a serious issue because it was sandwiched by two injuries to the head. The minute we were able to clear that concussion, and we'll talk about how we do it later, but it's through the eyes. getting the eye pattern working normally again. That didn't seem like such a big issue at all anymore. It was what it was, a childhood squabble with a relative. So this is kind of the kind of thing we're talking about. It seemed like this issue was monumental. After the concussion's cleared and the body's like, oh, actually, that was a normal thing. No big deal. So can you think of some, Bill? What can you think of about concussions? Tell us some stories.
Gosh, you know, this, the thing is about these is you would not expect that you'd have like the level of rage or sadness, you know, because you can't really feel it. And I give you two examples. The first story is a woman who was, I mean, just the most sweetest, kindest woman that you'd ever want to meet, had, you know, several children, right? So she's, you know, she's got kids, she's sweet. She lived in a small town, and she happened to find herself at a gas station, and someone had a large piece of iron sticking out of the back of the truck bed, and she had walked into the piece of metal because it was like right above her eye level, and not kind of looking, you know, not expecting there to be a beam, and wham, walked into it like that, instantly knocked out. Who knows how long? Because she's in a very small town, there's not a lot of people, laid on the ground for God knows how long. Gets up in a rage, an uncontrollable rage, and which is uncharacteristic. That's not her. And that rage, and also subsequent to that, confusion, rage, confusion, also kind of a balance things where inability to drive and extraordinary amounts of fear around driving. Anyway, the great news is that gently over time, we did these kind of brain exercises, right? Cognomovement is a brain exercise, and able to help her with her physical, all of her physical performance and her mental acuity. And we're able to help with these things because they're quite natural. They're just exercises that, you know how to do push-ups, you know how to do sit-ups, but this is simple exercises for the brain. They're physical exercises you do, and it will create mental acuity for you. So that means your brain is coming online, you know, you're getting a connectivity in your brain. So those, the exercises are fairly simple, but the big thing there is quality of life, getting the ability to drive, getting your emotions where you're not having fits of rage, right? And that is a like a good example. I had another one recently, and this was a young boy had gotten a brain, you know, a concussion where he was, you know, as kids do, you know, you're a young boy, you want to try all the things you see on YouTube and, you know, show off and, you know, and also challenge yourself. And anyway, he decides he's going to do a backflip, right? You know, one of those standing backflips that, you know, the kids do, right? Well, didn't get all the way through it, ended up whacking the back of his head on the ground.
Ay, ay, ay.
Knocked himself out for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Imagine that. 30 minutes, right? Well, you know, his friends are like, wow, you know, I can't even believe this, right? So anyway, finally he gets up, right? And then, you know, he shakes it off. You know, he's feeling, you know, a little minor headache. But that night, you know, it's a Friday night. He's like, hey, there's a school dance night. I'm going. You know, he goes, right? He goes to the dance. And the next day, you know, next day he gets up and, you know, he feels incredibly sad. Incredibly sad. So much sadness that he was crying and crying for hours. Ends up crying himself to sleep that night, getting up the next day, you know, having problems where he just feels so sad. Well, it's, you know, to him, you know, when I talked to him, I said, hey, does it hurt? Well, no, my back of my scalp is just, you know, just maybe the most minorest of little thing on my scalp, but I don't feel anything. And so the sadness seems like real sadness and is completely disconnected from the injury, right? So this is all of us, right? We all have this type of thing, but there's so much more to this that I wish we knew back in the day, like the relationship in between your head and your gut. You know, there were some wonderful doctors that we had run into, Liz and myself, and they said this, and not many know this. They said, when people come in with gut problems, they say, when'd you get your concussion? They were like, no, I don't, I got diarrhea. You don't understand. I got chronic irritable bowel. Said, yeah, when'd you have your concussion? And the guy's like, what? I don't, you know, right? Well, guess what? They're related. Doctors said they had yet to run into anybody that had gut problems that had not had an injury. So I wanted to, you know, me and Liz had wanted to bring all this out to the surface so you can kind of start to think about your life, you know, and all the events of your life, they all funnel back to, you know, often, not always, but often enough that we wanted to do this episode for you to start to bring it together.
Yeah, I mean, it's really true. I think on one hand, people might say, oh, no, my psycho-emotional problem is real. Yeah, it is. It doesn't mean that it's not, but the cause might be something so much more simple to fix, to alleviate. So we don't want to disregard what you're experiencing, but what we do want to do is empower you to know there might be a way to change it that you haven't thought of. You know, I know people who've been in counseling and therapy for years and years, and it just, there's no help for it. We've heard this, that psychotherapy is the one, basically medicine where the doctor doesn't look at the organ that has the problem, because unless you're doing a brain scan, you don't see the head. So we just always thought that these things were emotional, stemmed from some other issue. But if you think about it clearly, it is the organ that is doing the thinking, and it's the organ that is having the problem. So it would follow that it may be the organ that has the glitch. It may be the organ where it can be changed. And so I think personally that it is really amazingly empowering to have this information and be able to start investigating, could it be the source of the thing you're experiencing? And if so, can I change it quite quickly? Wouldn't that be lovely to find out that all these years, this depression or anxiety or whatever just really was a result of a concussion and that it's repairable. So the work that Bill and I do, it has everything to do with, it's an exercise, he's right, and it has everything to do with your eyes. What most people don't realize is the eyes are connected directly to the brain and the brain to the spinal cord. It's a one unit, and then the spinal cord is connected to all these filaments of nerves that go all the way out to every last section of your body. If you can feel it on the outside of your body, you got a nerve there. But what other people don't realize is beyond that, it extends about 6 to 8 feet beyond the body. You know when somebody's standing close to you, even though they're not touching you. How is that? Your nervous system extends that far, right? You could feel when somebody's looking at you from a distance. Why? Your nervous system feels it. So what happens at this place in our brain that's connected to our eyes has everything to do with every last other thing we experience in life. Everything. Who we love, how we learn, what we eat, what we don't eat, what we like, what we don't like. And so Bill and I discovered that the point of entry, one point, is through the eyes. And the eyes are actually connected to all these parts of the brain. Well, through the eyes, we can see that part of the brain. So the work that we do has to do with your vision. And one of the things that we discovered is that where there's a concussion connected to that part of the brain, your eyes don't really see. Functionally, you're kind of blind. You think you can see, but you can't. Your eyes don't track. They don't follow. So if you're a person who, when you're driving and you need to look over your shoulder to see, you know, pull over into the next lane, but you have to literally turn your whole body around to do it, you just can't see on that side, you may be a candidate for a person who's had a concussion and has lost a bit of their visual reference. So this is one of the things. Is there a part of your visual range that you have to struggle to see? You know, take a look around. Notice if you see really well in your periphery on the right, really well in your periphery on the left. Do you really see well in the upper range? Like if you move your eyes up to the left, up to the right, if there's a part of that that's really, really uncomfortable, or you notice, wait a minute, I really don't see that well there, you might be a person who's had a concussion who could benefit from having that worked out. Once it's worked out, you might be shocked at what else changes in your life.
Absolutely. This is, and when Liz says, what changes in your life, in the next segment, we're going to get to exactly that. And there's some new science out. Actually, it's not all that new, but it relates to how you get treated and how some events in your life that are out, what you believe are outside of your control, are actually reflective of what happened to you. This sounds nuts, but I'm going to tell you all about it right after the break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back. We're talking about, you know, how a possible bunk on the head could be related to, you know, how your life's working out, you know, depression, anxiety, fear, learning, digestion, all of that. And you were going to tell a story about some science about how you might be treated if you've had a brain injury.
Oh my gosh. You guys are, you're not going to believe this one. Well, this story starts off with Liz Larson. And Liz had added to Cognomovement an interesting discovery. And that was that as she was observing people before doing the Cognomovement exercise, she would have them walk away from her and then walk towards her. And when she did that, she had keen observation of their hips, their shoulders, their gait, their head position, and noticed if they were, as she says, congruent. Congruent. Are they walking upright? Is their head cocked over to one side, leaning forward? You know, if you think about it, right? I don't know if you kind of like look at people on the street all around you. You know people and you kind of know how they walk. You know, oh, there's old Joey kind of listening to port, you know, or, you know, that's, you know, this person, you know, they seem to walk with a limp. You know, all of these different things. And other people, you see, my gosh, they're talk about posture. Look at that. You know, they're right up straight. So you got to get this one. New York City, 1980s. A study was done with convicts. So these convicts were to watch films. They set up cameras on the streets of New York City, and they filmed one person after the next, you know, in rush hour, just walking, all these people walking. And what they asked the criminals to do, these are convicts. They, you know, they say, you know, they're in the joint. They're not getting out. They're like, you tell me, Mr. Convict, who is going to be your mark? Meaning, who is going to be the person that you select for your crime? And they had done literally thousands and thousands of these where they looked, and you know, my brain, because I don't think like them, my brain instantly goes to, okay, choose the weak one, grandma. Right? You know, easy. Oh, you can grab grandma's bag and just run away, you know, and there you go. Now you got grandma's bag. But it wasn't that. It wasn't male. It wasn't female. It wasn't age. What it was, when they distilled it down, they found that the people that they would not attack, would not choose, were the people who had the, as Liz Larson says, congruent. They used the word squared away. Their posture was correct. Their head was up. There was an order to them. There's an orderness. So when the other ones, they said there was something about them. There was something about them. And when they distilled it down, it came down to something incongruent, right? The one shoulder's down, they're kind of walking along, something's cockeyed, right? Something ain't right. Well, guess what? That is in the most interesting thing about it here is if you go back, when Liz Larson has finished somebody's session with this neurological exercise, you know, to create mental acuity, when she finishes, you know how she knows when she's done? She has them walk away from them and walk back to her. And she watches, is the body now congruent? Is it upright and stable and all those things? Now, you think about the times of your life when you're having a good time and you really feel good. How's your posture? How's everything feeling? You feel squared away, right? Your head's up. You're feeling good, right? And then the times we don't, right? Well, you know how that is. So anyway, my point is that this type of thing, the brain injuries, and we've all gone through it. Hey, man, I'm a poster child. You know, I'm right there ahead of you. And, you know, whether it's alcohol, drugs, anesthesia from surgery, you know, playing football, baseball, volleyball, soccer, you know, banging that soccer ball in your head all day, you know, rugby, any of these activities, or just simply an accident you forgot about. You remember, like Liz says, you look at your life. There's one other little factor that I just want to bring up just for 2 seconds here. And that is another thing that these doctors that that we love that specialize in brain injury and concussion. One of the things that they said also is the exact same thing about the digestion, and that was shoulder injuries. Shoulder injuries. They said the exact same thing. When people come in with shoulder injuries, they ask them about, hey, did you have a concussion? When was your concussion? Shoulder injuries and concussions are best buddies. And, you know, you wouldn't think it, right? You just, what do you mean? Well, it, the factor is, right, is that we get prone to accidents. We just become prone to getting an accident because our systems are no longer behaving appropriately or optimally.
Yeah. You know, it's really true. You got to look at coordination and balance is a big issue with a bump on the head. You know, and if you're an athlete out there and you're listening to this and you would like to improve your coordination and balance, having your brain checked by a cognitive movement practitioner for concussion is a huge thing. Balance and motor skills are one of those things. And sometimes it's very minor, but you realize that you're just not as coordinated as you were before. Your balance just isn't as good. You know, this happens to people as we get older. And what Bill and I know is that a person gets older, this visual reference, meaning what they can see in their periphery, how easily their eyes track, how easily they can look in a full upward position, becomes more and more and more diminished as you get older. And so does your balance get more and more and more diminished. Once you open this back up again, get the eyes fully moving, balance is restored instantly. Not, you know, hours or days, but like instantly, the balance is better. Coordination is better. Your athletic performance is better. So you kind of look at that. If you were an athlete and you notice you've kind of lost your edge, well, did you bonk your head? Or did you have a surgery maybe? Anesthesia looks like this sometimes too. I think the thing to look at is that the meaning of the trauma, meaning actual physical injury or major emotional injury or influence of drug or alcohol. I've even seen this with ayahuasca or psilocybin journeys sometimes create this little bit of an injury to the brain. The meaning of it is not made by the logical mind. It's literally made by your limbic system, whether or not it's a threat. So that threat comes from, wow, that really hurt. It knocked my ability to, I got a dog barking in the background. It knocked my ability to send and receive signals very, very clearly. Then the nervous system will say, wow, that is a major issue. We need to pay attention. Red line, you know, pull the alarms, pay attention right here. And it'll send a lot of energy there and the system becomes very imbalanced. So a cognitive movement practitioner will then rebalance that system. So it all starts to fire, you know, as it should fire more evenly, you know, sending the signals where it needs to go.
This is this, by the way, is a incredible thing that Liz is talking about. Now your balance and your divorce. I know what you're thinking right now. You know, you're thinking, what the heck does my divorce have to do with my balance or my ability to athletically reach out and catch a ball or my ability for me to see and respond? What happens is with, let's say, for example, a divorce, is that is for most of mankind an injury. It's an emotional injury. And with that, what happens is the impulses within our neurological system have what I would call an impedance. It's an electrical system. your neurological system is in fact electrical, and an impedance means is a resistance. So what happens is when that resistance in that system, that neurological system is gone, we see 30 to 50% increases in athletic performance. And we've actually done the brain scans on this, where you have time to how long it takes you before and after to not only solve the problem, but solve it correctly. That's why the, you know, real high performance athletes, right? They do this type of work. This is the exact same type of work that the Formula F1 drivers do, where they need to be able to make the correct decision and do it quickly, right? I have the information that comes in through my eyes. You know, I'm looking, okay, turns up ahead, you know, and okay, and I'm going to, or, oh, somebody's in front of me on this, you know, making the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, it really is true that, you know, look at the areas of your life where there have been a major, major change. You know, you're a divorce, a big, big move. A big move can look like this for kids, where you're just never quite the same. And notice what happens in your body. Notice if there's an onset of another kind of an illness. You know, like gut health, for example, ulcers, for example, you know, lung health, all of that can be traced back often to one of these physical injuries. So here's a fun game for you guys. We always give you something to take home with you. So first, ask your family, do you know of me having a concussion? Were you dropped on your head as a child? Do you remember me bonking my head as a kid, if you don't remember it specifically? Also, just look through your life and see where, you know, you've played a sport, you had a car accident, some other injury. And then take a look at your own vision. So here's what you do. You're just going to really stretch your eyes. You're going to look across the floor. I'm going to say from right to left, but the direction doesn't matter. Really stretch your eyes in that down position and look as far left as you can, and then move all the way across to your far right. And just notice, did you actually see the whole floor? Try it again. Look down and look left and move all the way across and look right. And do your eyes want to skip a section? If they do, that could be where your issue is. Now try moving your eyes to the far left, as far with your head forward, with your eyes as far to that left side as you can possibly go. And then move them from like your shoulder all the way up the wall to the ceiling and notice if it skipped. Try it again. Now do the same for the ceiling. Look from the left to the right all the way across the ceiling very slowly. And then from the ceiling down that right wall. And just notice, did you lose track of what you were thinking for a minute? Did you lose track of what you were doing? Go back and see. If you have a lot of skipping in your vision, you may be a candidate. To do what, Bill McKenna? What should people do if they figure out they've got this problem?
Well, if you've figured out, like, I have this problem, I know now that my eyes, as I look, I have my head straight and level, and I look across the ceiling from left to right, and I clearly have a place that my eyes, I can't see it. I have a blind spot, or my vision goes fuzzy. As I do this here, if I have that experience, you should maybe consider contacting a cognitive movement practitioner and getting a session. It's easy work. It's something that you'll find that you'll be able to move your eyes across the ceiling, and the places that you had before, you'll find that you can actually get that back. Now, the important thing here is that we know neurologically that the eyes, the brain are one system along with the spinal cord. This is one neurological system. So you're accessing directly your brain. And so that position where that eye was not quite able to see, focus, or be, you're actually exercising that part of the brain. So anyway, it's an easy thing to do. Go ahead and give yourself this self-check. It works really easy. Go down one wall and look down one wall and look down across the floor and up the other wall. Away you go.
All right, you guys, we have come up against the end of this episode. We can talk about it for days. It's really fun and interesting. Cognomovement.com is how you can find a Cognomovement practitioner. Until next week, everybody, UK Health Radio Land, be safe and be well. And we'll be back with another fascinating topic. See you soon, Bill.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.